God bless you. This is Pastor Paul from the Way Family Church. We welcome you to our podcast, Keeping It Real. We want to invite you to tune into this podcast any chance you get. Every week we're going to be putting up new teachings, new questions, new answers. We also want to encourage you to watch us live on Facebook and interact there. You can put up questions there as well. So we are going to be doing this, answering your questions. So be thinking of good Bible questions. Maybe there's something that you've never been able to get answered. I may not be able to answer it, but we will try our best or point you to someone that can. So just to let you know that we have this broadcast and we want you to tune in and let everybody know that we're here keeping it real. God bless you.
And for me, my most recent answered prayer, which I was praying on, was work. Should I go back to work? Should I start a business? What business should I start? And God gave me an answer. I'm now currently a business owner. I started a business, a window and cleaning business. It's called Kingdom Windows and Gutters. And that was definitely an answered prayer that I was asking God to guide me and show me the steps and what moves to make. Was it to go back to work? Was it to start a business? And he definitely answered that prayer. Not only did he turn my head to the business that I will be starting, he's guiding me how to fill out the application for a business license, an EIN number. So that's the most current that was answered for myself.
That's awesome. I lost some of the other questions. The other one was how is forgiveness important in prayer? How important does prayer affect forgiveness? Put it that way.
Very important to have forgiveness in your life, because Christ has forgiven us.
Yes,
God
so
has
much.
Forgiven us for everything that we've ever done. If we repent and turn to God, He forgives us of our sins. So, in order for that to work, in order for blessings to fall down upon us, in order for Him to open the floodgates of heaven and let our blessings fall down, we have to forgive everybody that's ever faulted us, because God has forgiven us. So what right do we have to hold any grudges against anybody that's done us wrong? We have no right, because God's forgiven us, man. So we shouldn't hold no grudges. Forgiveness is very important. It releases emotional turmoil that's built up in your heart, and it gives you a clean slate. Because if you hold on to any bitterness, any unforgiveness, it blocks the doorway that God has. That God could pour down His blessings upon you.
Yeah, the Word of God says, forgive your brother 7 times 70. That's a lot of times in one day.
Right.
So, and He also says, before you come to His altar, to make amends with your brother.
Yes.
So He says those things clearly. He commands those things. And so it's a must. It's a must before you even speak to the Father. Is anybody have a grudge with? Anybody have some unforgiveness with? To make amends with them. 7 times 70, like I said, is a lot of times. That's 700 times a day. I don't think somebody could offend you or...
7 times 70, that's 490.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm not a math magician.
I'm a math magician.
That's awesome.
I mathed it right quick.
Amen.
But, yeah, and it's just a metaphor of being able to, like you said, forgive.
Yeah.
Forgive people that... And in my experience... I've found that forgiveness is not for other people. Forgiveness is for myself.
Right.
To forgive your brother is really not going to have any effect on that person unless they accept it.
Correct.
I think that that if it works for our benefit, it's releasing our conviction of having that burden.
Yes.
of guilt and disparity, and it kind of just releases us to focus in on us and how we perceive ourselves, and being able to let that person go. And if that person accepts it, then they have that they can take and forgive themselves and forgive you and let it go.
That's so true. And also with my prayer life, 2 Timothy 2:3-4 says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engages in warfare and entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So what that is saying is, when we surrender and accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we actually enlisted. Pastor Paul says all the time, we've enlisted in the army of God. So it just says it must endure. So it doesn't say by praying every day that we're not going to endure through trials. We're going to still go through trials, but it will help us endure through those trials.
Yeah, yeah.
And also that we're not here to please man. We're here to please, it says right here, to please him who enlisted us. Right? That's our Lord and Savior. So
what does enlist mean? Like, what does that... Why does it say enlist? Why do you think it says enlist? My opinion is because we were discussing before the program.
Yeah.
Is God's enlisting us because we're ready. We're getting ready to warfare.
Yes.
That Christ isn't... It's not going to be all rainbows and unicorns when
absolutely
you become a Christian.
Not. Absolutely not.
And you're not going to be able like all your problems aren't going to be answered. You're not going to win the lottery. You're not going to do all this kind of different stuff.
Right.
That it's time to buckle down and to get ready, because this Christian life ain't no cakewalk.
Yes, absolutely. And what I want to do right now, I want to encourage my viewers for something that we do each and every morning. And one of the prayers that we ask for is the full armor of God. So if you're enlisting in the army, you're not going to go to war without weapons. Our uniform, right?
Right.
So there is actually in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, there is an armor. There is an armor to suit yourself up and put on each and every day. And this is something that I take so very seriously, that I get up, like I was talking about earlier, our corporate prayer that we have in the home, to ask God to put these things on for myself each and every day. And it's not something that takes that's really fast. It's not like a little quick 10-minute prayer. It takes a while. It takes a while to bathe in these things. And if you take a bath, you don't just... It's not like taking a shower.
Right.
You take your time and you put these things on. And the same way with the armor of God, as you're putting these things on, it's a slow process. So you're going to be in prayer asking for each individual weapon and armory.
And do you have those listed? Do you know what those are?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got those for you. And the first one is going to be the belt of truth.
Where can you find this? Do you have the scripture that it's found?
Yes. Once again, it's at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. So you can find that there.
I'm going to put that in here right now. Ephesians.
This is very important for you, for the war that you, once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a must. This is a subscription that is a must.
Ephesians, what was that again?
Chapter 6.
Chapter 6.
Verse 10.
10.
Through 18.
Through 18. I'm putting that in the comments so people can find it.
Yes, and that first part of the armor is a belt of truth. And what the belt of truth is, it has two significance, two things. One thing, it holds all the rest of the armor together, is the first thing. And the second thing, Satan is known as the father of lies. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So on John 8:32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So those are so that's the first piece that we would like to put on is the belt of truth. And the second one would be the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate of righteousness, that part covers your heart. And the heart is a vital organ. We agree? And that is where the accusations, people make accusations to you, offense comes. So, and that comes often. You could be offended, you could offend somebody, as well as just people having charges against you that may not be true as well. So that's an important part of the armory.
I think with that too, the heart is the most vital part in your body. Yes, like you can get hit anywhere, but if you get hit in your heart, you're done.
And know what happens when offense comes, when somebody offends you, what do? We speak out on it.
Right.
So out of the mouth, the heart speaks.
Right.
So our reactions to an offense is you know what I mean? If we don't wake up with that breastplate of righteousness, then it's real easy to just get in the flesh and say something out of who you are now, out of character.
Well, and that ties in back with the pride thing too. It's like when that arrow gets tossed, when it gets shot and it hits you in your heart and you don't have that protection, you don't have that breastplate, it pierces the heart and that hurts. And that's why emotional pain, because it's affected through the heart, that's why emotional pain is far worse than physical pain.
Yes.
Because that breastplate needs to be on so we can deflect those digs and those arrows and those darts that Satan uses other people, and it's Satan using other people. It's not the other people.
Right, right.
Even though it feels like that.
Yeah.
Yes. It's Satan behind there to throw that distraction to ruin your day.
And he's the one that we want to put this armor on. That's who we want to protect ourselves from, because he's who we're really at battle with.
Yeah.
And the third one is going to be the shoes of the gospel. And as the shoes of the gospel, the importance of that is all soldiers, when you're marching, you need some comfortable shoes for battle, right? You need, and not only that, it says allows us to march wherever the Lord leads. So we want to ask for the gospel of peace, because in John 10:27, it says the sheep will hear his voice and they will follow him. So this is what leads us. When you ask the Lord to put that armor on and put those shoes of the gospel, that's what led me here. Matter of fact, you know what I mean? It wasn't by my choice. It was hearing the Lord's voice that said, go to Medford. So the gospel of peace is where you hear that peaceful, gentle voice. So that's what's so important to suit up with that part of the armory.
Well, and I think too, when you're in, it ties in what you were saying earlier regarding going through battle and going through stuff. It's not going to be easy, but with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with your feet are shod with preparation, gospel of peace, it gives you that peace to walk through that battle, to go and be able to. If you look at all the different generals and all the different commanders and stuff, when they go into war, they're not panicking.
Right.
They're strategizing. Right. They have a plan of what they're doing, and they go and do that plan. And that's what the gospel of peace is all about. It's giving you, he's giving you the plan through the Bible.
Yes, he is.
That's that strategic warfare, and he's giving you that plan, and that's what your feet are shod for.
Yes. So the fourth one is the shield of faith. And the shield of faith is what blocks you from those fiery darts of the enemy. And what he likes shooting at you, the one he loves shooting the most is doubt.
Yeah.
He loves shooting doubt at you, you know? So what conquers the doubt is faith. So that's why it's the shield of faith. You know, it conquers doubt. And faith is a gift. Faith is a gift from the Lord. And as we walk with the Lord, there's an increase in our faith, and that shield becomes thicker. But those are one of the examples that the shield is for.
And it's not only, and if you remember the movie 300,
right?
Your shield is not only to protect you; it's to protect your neighbor.
Amen.
And when you're walking through, this life, and you're fellowshipping, and you need to be able to help the people that aren't as experienced as you may be, true, or the people that are more experienced than you. You have them to your right side or to your left, and to be able to hunker down when those arrows come through, you guys like 300, they put up that shield, and it was,
yeah,
dude, the Spartans were famous for that line that of being able to be impenetrable when they got down and they hunkered and they have all those shields out. You ain't getting through.
Yes.
And that just reminds me of that when you're talking about the shield of faith. And it's also that second line, it's that first line of defense before it gets to your breastplate.
Right.
And yes, I did say breastplate again, Polly. Pastor Paul wants to know, what happens when you go to bed angry?
When you go to bed angry, you give a foothold to the devil. You give a foothold at that moment. Going to bed angry, you allow that devil to have a foothold to manifest something inside of you. So you wake up in the morning pretty much frustrated. Your mind is already playing like a movie of all these other things that maybe whoever you are frustrated with or thinking they're doing things purposely to you. So it just opens the door for other attacks.
Yeah. So and I think it just throws in like that doubt that you were talking about earlier. It automatically gives that foothold to doubt. If he can throw a couple more darts at you before you even get into your prayer life.
Yeah.
That huge problem of doubt comes through.
Yeah, and we give him too much credit. Once he just puts that doubt or that little seed, then we do the rest, actually.
Yeah.
We do the rest. Like I was saying, it just becomes like a movie inside of our head. I've done it before plenty of times. And that's why the importance of the armor of God is so important.
What do we got next?
So the next one we have is the helmet of salvation. And the helmet of salvation protects our minds from that thought that we're talking about. That thought that plays like a movie and it goes on, and next thing you know, you think that person that you're having problems with may be talking about you, and most of the stuff that you're thinking is not even true.
No.
It's not even true. So.
Well, and I think that goes along with having anxiety. Yeah. Why there's a lot of people that have anxiety is because they think the devil puts those thoughts in their mind, and if he can control you with a thought before it even happens, or it may not even happen, like he throws you for a loop.
Yeah. So without that helmet of salvation, what we do, we give the enemy an opportunity to deceive us with the thought.
Yeah, yeah. And there lies along that distraction tactic that he uses quite often.
Yeah. So. The next one we have here is the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is actually, of all the armory that we have, is the only one that is used as for the offense. That's the one we go after him. That's the one, it says, is living and powerful. The word of God is living and powerful. And that's what that is. That's what the sword, it's a two-edged sword. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, that's where Jesus did. He used that when he was being when the devil was tempting him. That's what he used. That's what he used to fight Satan off, was that two-edged sword. And he quoted scripture and he used the words "it is written."
Yeah.
And from "it is written," he used the word of God, because the word of God is truth.
I got a great question for you, and I want to see if you can tell me. It's hard and easy to know at the same time. What part of the armor covers the back?
What part of the armor
covers the back of you?
Shield.
Nothing covers the back of you. Because we're always on the offense.
That's good.
If you look, there's no... He talks about no armor in the back. Why?
Because
we don't turn and run.
But if you refer to the Spartans, they throw it over their shoulder.
They do.
When they're fighting. So the shield is in back of you when you got your sword out.
That's true.
Yes.
But when we're talking about the armor of God, there's nothing that's made for your back. Because we need to be on the offense. And that's why we have the Bible. Because the Bible tells us to be on the offense.
Right.
We shouldn't have to placate and go backwards and reach. There's no retreat in here. I've never seen anywhere that God says you need to retreat.
Yes.
It's always take the offensive, take it to the devil, wake up, get the armor on, and go. And repel the devil and go.
Yes. And there's one more. There's one more that I didn't mention yet. And it's praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit is also very powerful. Yes. I don't know if you have not been baptized in the spirit, but if you haven't, I recommend you get baptized in the spirit, because there's power in that. And it's one of my, I haven't got the gift to interpret yet, but it's one of my favorite ways of praying.
Yeah, I Pastor Paul said this in a previous segment, is that the praying in the spirit activates the armor.
Yes, come on.
It activates. It kind of just electrifies it and gets it going and gives you that mindset of it's time, suit it up and boot it up. What Chris says, suit it up and boot it up. Let's get it going.
These are the things I recommend for everybody out there. If you want to help your prayer life out, to look up Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18.
You got that in
and
here?
Study that. Yep. Study those things and add those to your prayer life. Make those a definite must do in your prayer life. And watch your prayer life change.
Watch your life change. Yeah.
Watch your life change.
And just watch how God takes you through battles that you might have had previous. Like we were talking before the segment, Chris, that you were talking about how, kind of go and share a little bit about that. When you were 19, what happened when you were 19?
So when I was 19, I first got saved, I first came to a church. My friend's mother invited us to church and I went. I got saved, I felt something. But I didn't know how to be a Christian. I didn't know how to follow God. I didn't have no fellowship. I didn't have no support system. The day I got saved, I went home and threw all my paraphernalia away. I threw all my drugs away, threw them in the trash. 3 days later, I'm out there digging through the trash looking for my stuff. and I continued on in my muck. And years later, I came back to Christ and gave it another shot. And this time I had a little bit more fellowship, a little bit more direction. But then again, I fell away because man will disappoint you. And as I've learned this time, I've learned through the scripture that man will disappoint you. So keep your eyes off of man and keep your eyes on God, because God will never fail you.
Yes, absolutely.
If you do have a mentor, don't put your faith into your mentor. Put your faith into this word and the gospel and in Jesus Christ. And ask for discernment in your prayer life. Ask for revelation. And God will speak to you, man. If you really calm your mind and listen to Him. It says, Proverbs says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. And I've learned that it's not, it's to shut your mouth and just listen to God's word.
That's the hardest part.
Yes.
It is. But it is possible.
Yeah. And what has made your walk now? Because I remember seeing you 90 days ago. And it was, you were not as confident as you are now in your walk. Like you were telling me, I want to run. Like sometimes I get up and I just want to run.
Right.
And now we were talking before the broadcast and you were like, man, this has just been awesome. And even Pastor Paul said in here, he goes, Pastor Chris in the making.
Yes.
And to see that in 90 days, and we were talking about how your prayer life has helped you with that. Like, kind of go into, like, how does that prayer life change you in 90 days?
Sincerity. Transparency. Giving everything that I've ever done, asking for forgiveness for all my sins, laying it all on the table and letting Christ overtake my life, my will, and direct me in the best possible way He can. I know that God has a calling on my life, and
I know that I'm going to be used for His glory. And how did that happen? It's just the willingness to let go and let God. Because everything that I've done myself has been nothing but destruction. And these last 90 days, God has shown me so much. God has shown me so much, man. It's not just me, it's the whole team. Together, we're getting, yeah, it's unity
and prayer.
Unity and prayer. I have so much love to give, man, because God has given me so much to love.
Amen. Yeah. Man, I appreciate that. Bobby, what about you? Like, where, how long have you in this session of your life, how long have you been like touched? Like, how has your life changed? How long ago were you lost?
Oh wow. Just 3 years ago, I was totally lost. Addicted to drugs, homeless, horrible father, a thief. My confidence was shut out. You know, I had no confidence. Anger at everybody. You name it. That was me. You know, and now I'm confident. I can't stop smiling.
Everybody loves your smile.
I love the trials. I love the trial. I embrace the trials and the process, because through prayer, I God has answered so many prayers these last 3 years, and constantly and still answering them. Today He's answering a prayer right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How? Because we've talked before. Like, I know that God has answered a lot of your personal prayers, and then also your family's prayers.
Yes.
And how are you now being a father and a grandfather?
Well, I just got reunited with a daughter that had no contact with me for 18 years, and we're now communicating. And that was a process, and I've constantly been praying for the last 3 years. So prayers, just hang on. Just know that God is faithful. God will answer this prayer. It's coming. But we just want it at our timing.
Right.
But He hears your prayers. And just through faith, just know our God is not a liar.
Right.
Our God is not a liar. And at His timing, it's just His timing. We want it like right now. But He's delivered me from diabetes, high blood pressure. And I'm in the process from fully being healed from gout.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, and God has worked miracles in. Well, look, we were only, how long ago were we without a men's home? And now we're at full capacity,
yes,
or getting close to full capacity, and bringing guys up from San Bernardino and having guys here.
Yeah.
And it's just making a difference. And prayer has activated all of that. And that's that foundation that we get from the Word, along with our glorious leader, Pastor Paul.
Yes.
And he's actually heading out to Pelican Bay. Was he out there today? I think he was out there today, right?
Yes.
Today and tomorrow. So we pray for Pastor Paul.
Yes, he's definitely our leader in prayer, and has taken our prayer life to another level since we've been here.
And that's amazing.
And he's a man of prayer, and somebody to look up to and honor and mimic.
Yeah.
With his walk and his prayer life, and it's something that we all do at the men's home, is try to imitate Pastor Paul, who actually imitates Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's how it's supposed to go. It's supposed to rain from the top down.
Yes.
Well, it looks like we're out of time. So won't you close us out in a word of prayer?
Yes, absolutely. So I'd like to thank everybody that was viewing tonight, and let you know that Pastor Joe from the San Bernardino Way World Outreach Prison Ministry will be giving a word this Sunday.
Awesome.
At our church. And so we want to encourage you, invite you to that service. And also just encourage anybody to look up, once again, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Yeah, so anybody that's struggling with their prayer life, it's a must. It's a must do. So let me finish with the word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to speak to your people, Lord. We thank you that you've chosen us to come out this evening, Lord, and speak about prayer, Lord, to your sheep, God. So I ask anybody that's out there that is looking to increase their prayer life, to just continue to wake up early and speak to our Father, because you were chosen, and once you were given your life to our Lord and Savior, there is a real war going on. So suit up with the armor of God. Make it not just a obligation, but a way of life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Just to let you guys know, this will be on our podcast. You can find our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, anywhere that you can find our podcast. Look up Keeping It Real or The Way Medford Family Church and tune in. We are here. We try to be here once a week. The days kind of shift off and on just due to people's schedules. So just keep us in prayer. And if you have any questions, drop them below in the comments. If you have any subjects that you want covered, drop them in the comments or email them or message us. Just get it to us so we can talk about it. Let's chat. All right, we'll talk to you later. Keep it real. God bless you.